things are not going well. Not at all. And so just really pray for them if you would. All right, Revelation chapter 9. And of course, between Daniel and Revelation, we're getting a lot of prophecy going on here. But amen. So actually going to start at about verse 12, but we just kind of in the chapter we see two different types of devil monsters, you might say, and we're going to look at both of them today, the difference of them. I mean, isn't that a strange thing to do in a church? Look and read about the monsters that it's but it's talking about two different kinds here, okay? And so now remember in verse 1, so the angels is an unclean spirit, and we talked about it may be Satan. And verse 2 through 7, these monsters have wings. They have a body like a horse. They wear crowns that are like gold, and they have faces like men. Okay. Verse 8 through 11, now we see that they have teeth like lions, breastplates, and then they have a long tail with a stinger at the end of the, like a scorpion's tail. And so pain will be so bad that people will wish to, that they could die, but they can't. So we'll finish out the chapter looking at the rest of the monsters, you might say, that we're looking at. And so anyway, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, again, we do thank you for your goodness. Heavenly Father, we praise that you will bless tonight. We need your help, and we ask this in the Son, in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the ones that come out. We pray for the ones that are out tonight, work and vacation and different things. And Lord, we just pray that we need you to help us tonight and show us things, if you would, and in comparing these things in your book, in the book of Revelation. And we just appreciate it and thank you for it. In the name we pray. Amen. All right, so then when in verse 12 of chapter 9, it says, one woe is past, and behold, there cometh two other woes more hereafter. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel, which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. Now, how many ever went swimming somewhere in a deep place? Yeah. I'm not, well, the ocean, that's a deep place, but we used to, where we came from, we had strip mining back there years ago. And some of them pits would be 200 or 300 foot deep, and they were clear. And boy, I mean, you just wondered what was down there sometime. You know, something coming up and grabbing you, and so anyway, so it's just kind of spooky like, and so just wondering if anything could be down there. But anyway, so that's what these are in the river there, Euphrates River. And verse 15 says, and the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year for to slay the third part of men. So that's 391 days, okay? So again, there is a time limit given to even these monsters on how long they can hurt mankind, and on how many men they can kill. It's like they have intelligence enough to pick out every third person, you might say, that is going to die. And then verse 16, and the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000, and I heard the number of them. And verse 17, and thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that had set on them, having breastplates of fire, and of jacinth and brimstone. And the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions, and out of their mouth issued fire and smoke and brimstone. 18. And these three was the third part, and by these three were the third part of men killed by fire, by smoke, and by brimstone, which issued out of their mouth. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails. For their tails were like unto serpents. No wonder he had a head on one end, a head on the other end. And had heads, a serpent, and had heads, and with them they do hurt. Notice that these monsters have tails, so they're not common. Also, that if you remember, the other ones had scorpion tails, but this thing has tails like a snake, with heads on it, with fangs to hurt people, and evidently it's got heads, so it's a multi-headed serpent on one end, and then it's got another head on the other end. So there's one end is a fire-breathing head, and the other end is a head of a snake striking everything. We can't even imagine how that is. And look at verse 20. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Can you imagine men so hardened their hearts after all that comes on the earth that they'd shake their fist at God and do such things? You know that the Spirit of God is left, man. I mean, it's not there. Neither repented they of their murderers, nor of their sorcerers, nor of their fornications, nor of their thefts. Now, what are some of the differences of these monsters? The first come out of the smoke of the pit. The second batch, the ones come out of the Euphrates River. Okay? The first set of monsters is only given power to hurt men, but the second group is given power to kill the third part of men. The first part said that they were like horses, but the second group is said that they are horses. Okay? The first group didn't have riders on them, but the second ones do have riders. The first have crowns like gold on their heads, but the second group has none. The first ones have faces like men, and the second ones have a face like a lion. The first wore breastplates of iron, but the second have breastplates of fire and jasonite. How do you pronounce that? Jaseth? Okay. And brimstone. So you know where that comes from. The first set had tails like scorpions with stingers, as we said, and the second have serpents with heads, several heads. The first group was to hurt men for 5 months, but the second are permitted to kill for 391 days. That's devastation, man. The first group is directed by the angel of the bottomless pit, while four angels will direct the second group. So you see, there's a lot of difference between the two visions that was given to John about the plagues, and that's what they're called in verse 20. They're called plagues. But you go back to verse 13, and the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns out of the golden altar, which is before God. So the Antichrist will cause the sacrifice and the oblation to stop during the tribulations. So that means that the mercy has been done away with during that time, because remember, there was the mercy seat and everything. Well, that the Antichrist is going to stop all that, so there'll be no mercy poured out at any given time during the tribulation. It's done away with because of no more sacrifices being offered, and the horns in time past would cry out mercy. That's what these horns were there for in the original altar. They would cry out for mercy, but now they're crying out for vengeance. And so there'll be no mercy of any kind during the tribulation period. Verse 14, saying to the sixth angel which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. Can anyone show where at any time in the Bible that good angels ever were bound? They're not. Okay. So these are bad angels, and at some time they must have done something terrible to get this kind of judgment, and they're there right now. They're there. Okay. The Euphrates is known as the cradle of civilization. That's through history and everything, that's what it's known of. And it also is the boundary of Israel. So between 14 and 16, you look at 16, and the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000, and I heard the number of them. And so this is a demonic army on horses. The first group was infernal locusts coming out of a furnace, the middle of the earth, out of the pit. And the second are infernal horses and horsemen. Okay? And so then that's the difference in verse 17. And thus I saw the horses in the vision, and then that set on them, having breastplates of fire and of jacinth and brimstone, and the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions, and out of their mouth issued fire, smoke, and brimstone. So again, now where are these things coming from? Nature didn't produce these, that's for sure. If you go over to Egypt, you have, we talked about this before, lions' bodies with man's head. That's called a sphinx, I think it is. And now, where did that come from? Well, look over to Isaiah. We looked a little bit this, look at Isaiah 34. We think these are just Greek myth stuff. No, they're out of the Bible. Isaiah 34 and verse 14. The wild beast of the desert shall also meet with the wild beast of the island, and the satyr shall cry to his fellow. Now notice it. Now what is that? That's a half man and half goat. Okay, satyr, and they're real. There's nothing imaginary about them. Look back up at verse 9. And the streams thereof shall be turned into pitch, and the dust thereof into brimstone, and the land thereof shall become burning pitch. It shall not be quenched night or day. The smoke thereof shall go up forever from generation to generation. It shall lie waste. None shall pass through it forever and ever. And then verse 11, for the cormorant and the bittern shall possess it. The owl also and the raven shall dwell in it. And he shall stretch out upon it the line of confusion and the stones of emptiness. Now, you're preaching about stones this morning. They're stones of emptiness. That's different. So, anyway, go back to Revelation. And so, we got quite the monsters going on here. And it goes 17 and 18. One-third of mankind will die at this point. Look at chapter 6. Chapter 6 and verse 8. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed with him, and power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword and with hunger and with death and with the beast of the earth. If there are, what is there, like 6 billion people on the earth? How much? Really? Wow, okay, well, it's grown then. Because the last time I heard it was about 6 billion. Well, so
it was that much a few years ago, but we were at the missionary conference last night, and he had all the statistics.
Really?
Huh. It was very interesting. We went home and looked it up about the population on the earth, and it's 7.2 billion.
Wow. Well, anyway, I took it from 6 billion. I thought that's what it was. Right now, and if 1/4 of them are killed in Revelation 6, which would be, well, if it's 7 billion now, you're talking close to 2 billion, would leave about 5 billion people. Now, if you kill 1/3 of them, which would be another 2 billion or something like that, so now you're down to another 2.5 to 3 billion people. That's just from two plagues, not including what the Antichrist, who won't even take the mark, that won't take the mark, is going to kill. Be what? How many?
1/3 of people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That. So I mean, it's amazing. And so, and in verse 19, for their power is in their mouth and in their tails. For their tails were like unto serpents and had heads, and with them they do hurt. So Jeremiah 8:17 says, "For behold, I will send serpents and cockatrice among you, which will not be charmed, and they shall bite you," saith the Lord. Jeremiah 8:3 says, "And death shall be chosen rather than life by all the residue of them that remain of this evil family, which remain in all the places where I have driven them, saith the Lord of hosts." So it's the same context in Jeremiah, talking about this going into the last part of the tribulation period. So you see, people will be very religious in the tribulation, according to verse 20, okay? And the devil has always desired to be worshipped, and remember, Satan even tried to get the Lord Jesus Christ to worship him, and don't you know they will be doing anything they can and promise anything to get worship from these people during that time. Look at Isaiah 42. And everything I'm going to, I mean, that I've been studying lately about this, what Satan is seeking after, go to Isaiah 14. Let me make a statement. 14, I'm sorry. Did I say 42? Okay. We think as the devil having so much power. Now he was over the host of heaven. But now think about this. When he fell, he lost all of his power. Now I want you to think about this. He lost all of his power. Now, remember when I was talking, and I'm still working on this thing. Remember what I told you last night of the power that Adam had when he was created, and it was in his soul. That's what I mean. His intellect was so great, his physical and strength and ability to was so great. That's what he got from, Satan got his power from Adam when he fell. And see, because Satan has no power, Satan uses that power that's in us to operate. Because there's so much scripture on this that his power is absolutely limited. Remember, Christ said, "You can have no power at all unless I give it to you." So what's he looking for? He understands that we have a extent power in us, in our soul, that's capable of doing just about what Adam did. But it's a soul power. It's a humanistic power we're not to tap into. Satan, that's what he tries to do. And that's exactly what he did. So anyway, but go to Isaiah 14 and look at verse 12. We know what this: "O how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to to the ground, which didst weaken the nations. For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit up also upon the mount of the congregation, the sides of the north. See, he was saying that when he had power. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. His power is taken from him. See, and that power was all of Adam's now. And that's why he hates God's people. And so that thing just keeps ringing in my mind, and everything I'm reading is just adding to that thing. So back to Revelation and verse 9, chapter 9, verse 20. So he talks there. He says, and the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. You know what the most terrible thing this chapter is? It's not the plagues and the monsters, but the sin or presence to commit while God is judging them. It's a persistence that they're just going to keep sinning while God is judging them. That's the pity of the thing. And so anyway, it's going to happen to them. And you say, well, it's terrible what God's doing to these men. No, the sins that men are committing, even while these judgments are going on, are far worse. It just shows the wickedness of mankind. Go to Daniel. Go to Daniel chapter 11. It's just wickedness of mankind. Daniel chapter 11, look at verse 36. And the king shall do according to his will, and he shall exalt himself. Now, who's this king? It's the Antichrist. And the king shall do according to his will, and he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished, for that is determined, shall be done. Verse 37, neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor desire of women, nor regard any god, for he shall magnify himself above all. But in his estate shall he honor the God of forces, Luke Skywalker, and a god whom his fathers knew not shall he honor with gold and silver and with precious stones and pleasant things. So look at Micah. I gotta find Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah chapter 5. I got to run through them to Micah chapter 5 and look at verse 10. Micah 5 verse 10. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord, that I will cut off the horses out of the midst of thee, and I will destroy the chariots. I will cut off the cities of thy land and throw down all the strongholds. And he says, I will cut off witchcrafts out of thy hand, and thou shalt have no more soothsayers. The graven images also will I cut off, and thy standing images out of the midst of thee, and thou shalt no more worship the work of thy hands. I wonder what the Catholics think about this. And I will pluck up thy groves out of the midst of thee, so I will destroy thy cities, and I will execute vengeance in anger and fury upon the heathen, such as they have not heard. So that's going to be fun. And so back to Revelation chapter 9 and verse 21. Neither repented they of their murders, nor their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. Look at chapter 16. verse 1. And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, "Go your way and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth." And the first went out and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome, grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image. And the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of dead men, and every living soul died in the sea. And the third angel, see, this is just another part of that, them vials being opened and everything. And the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and fountains of the waters, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of waters, I heard the angel of the waters say, "Thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and was and shall be, because thou hast judged us. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy." And I heard another out of the altar say, "Even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments." And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and the power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat and blasphemed the name of God, which had power over the plagues, and they repented not to give him glory. Man, that's wild. And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the sea of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. So, that's just, I don't know. That's just pretty wild. The pain that a people will go through and still not repent of. So, any comments? Huh? Well, I think it's more than that. I think it's just simply, it's a simple fact of they are Satan's seed, and there's no concept of God, or I don't know. I don't know. Yeah. Yeah. No, 200,000. No, that's yeah. That's a big army. I mean, and they're coming out of the pit and coming out of the river it's oh, I think at that time they'll probably be seen, because John saw them. Yeah, because see, now you know they're going to see it, because right now we can't. It says in Ephesians that we fight against spiritual darkness, and we can't see these things. We're just to know that they're there, and there's such a spiritual warfare, and that goes back to this other thing that I'm dealing with. But during the tribulation, that will all be made physical, and you'll actually see that demonic forces and power at its full. Evidently he does. Yes, he does, because you know what? In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, he blinds their mind that they can't see the truth. So that means he's blind their mind so they can't see the truth, so they're going to see everything else. I would think so. I think it'll just be a physical thing. These demonic beings will be physical, and because remember, the Holy Spirit's taken out, so everything that is spiritual is not on this earth, because and so everything is turned into physical down here on this earth for 7 years, or the last 3.5. And so, these will all be physical, absolute physical things. I believe you'll see the angels that will be doing this. I think they'll see them. Yeah, and yeah, see, you couldn't see them. No, you couldn't see them because they're spiritually chained, and you wouldn't be. But they're there, and when they're released, they will become a physical being or monsters, and just like these things coming out of the pit. See, that's why everybody, they call them helicopters and everything else. No, these are physical, real, just exactly what the Bible says they're going to be, and we try to visualize, or we try to minimize and spiritualize things that are, we spiritualize the things that need to be made physical, and we make physical the things that should be spiritualized. Yeah. And so, but that's a trick of the devil. It's just that power, that how we don't understand how much he hates God's people. And because when he was cast down, and he all his power was stripped from him, there was nothing that could be done to destroy him more than what God done to him. And so that that's why he was so angry at Adam, and that's why he's so angry at us. And we don't get that. We think he's a pacifist little devil that runs around and just, no, uh-uh. It's spiritual wickedness in high places. And we're more and more, we're seeing that thing. And what are they trying to he has no power, so he can operate, he can manipulate us to gain our power. That's a wild thing. Stop and think about that. And how many religions that try to get into that inner power that you know of? Shintoism, Buddhism, you just name them. And we count, we say, oh well, they will set and charm cobras. Well, that's, yes it is. They will levitate themselves. Yes, you can. And they set in, and I'm telling you, there's a power there that we don't understand. And that's why all through that New Testament is warned. With that in mind, go to Romans chapter 5. It's done what now? They're afraid of it, because you got to understand, when you say something psychic or philosophy, what's that dealing with? A Baptist won't go there. They just won't go there. But yeah. And it deals with the mind. Where does that come out of? It comes out of that extent, soul power that produces them. Huh? They don't want to deal with that. They do not want to deal, because we were taught that the soul and spirit was basically the same thing. No, they were sealed. There was three different, but they were sealed together in our body. Yeah, and they worked together. That is not even close to being true. And so that's you don't go there and separate them two. In Baptist traditional teaching, you just don't do it. We know the body's different, but that soul, because that soul is where all your emotions, everything that you are, comes from that soul. And that's where that power, that made up Adam. God created man out of dust. He was just a thing. God breathed into him the breath of life. But when the breath of God touched the body of man, it created the soul. And in that soul was where all his ability, power, and everything that made Adam what he was. But he was totally innocent. He knew nothing about no struggle or anything. God breathed into him the breath of life, the spirit. And so when you had a body, and God breathed into him the spirit of life, and when the spirit of life came in, now this is talking about Adam, came in contact with that body, the soul was created. Okay? Three separate individual things, totally. And the spirit is what God works through. And with Adam, he was so innocent. There was no battle. There was no confusion. All that power, God just worked, and he was able. But when he fell, he still retained that power. But now God wasn't working through that thing. Yeah, Satan came in through the senses, to what? To get at that power. Well, what did he tell? What did he tell Eve? You'll be like gods, because he had power as God. Adam did, and didn't know it. It was no concern to him. Satan wanted that power, and he got it. They're not illusionists. They're tapping into a power.
But there's some of these guys, you just watch them, and they're tapped into something.
I've been reading articles. I've been reading articles and things on this where people could come in a room and sit down and tell you what was going to happen the next week in your life. They happen. Where did that come from? Is it God's will for us to know what's going to happen tomorrow? No. They have tapped in through Satan's ability to tap into that inner power that they got. And it's called by all different names. Whatever religion you're working in. They what?
They become Luciferian.
Yeah, but see, they think they're... Here's the thing. They think they're getting their power from Satan. He has no power. He is showing them how to tap into their power that he wants from them. See, he tells them how much power he's going to give. He has no power to give them. But he knows people do. Even a lost person still has that power in them.
So how does he do that if only Christ can illuminate that power with
it? No, Satan knows it's there.
But it's dormant.
It's dormant, but through the flesh, he rouses it up. And what's our job? To keep it pushed down, keep it pushed down, keep it pushed down. What's his job? Try to stir that thing up. I'm telling you. Yeah. What is that talking about? It's talking about that now it switched from Christ's spirit to this power that's in you, that's still there. And we don't, it is, that's what I'm finding out. We don't understand the simplicity of something that will arouse this inner power in us. We know it's there. We call it the old man, right? Or the old nature. But see, we've never been taught how powerful that old nature is. We know an extent, to a certain extent, that it's powerful. But we don't understand that Satan is trying to tap into that power because it is so powerful that he desires it. Right, but we've been convinced over the years, well, it's just our old nature. It's really, but it's far more, Shannon. It is.
Satan drew that power when he got Eve to disobey God.
He did. That's what I'm saying.
And so it's got to be tied in with that. And it's even more widespread nowadays, even when you get into your health kits and your health circles and everything. Oh, we humans are powerful. We can heal ourselves.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And they do.
And they do.
That you have to be very careful about that thing. That's out of us.
So we produce that.
All he's doing is manipulating us.
Yeah.
Give neither, but give not place to. What's that? Allowing him because, and that's the whole battle. But what I'm getting at is we never realized the power. And why he wants, we just think it's because of that get us to sin. No, he uses that power. That's where he gets his power from. Not from his own, because he don't have any. But he gets that power from people. And yeah, Justin? Well, here's the reason. They used to teach us, Justin. Where do you think I'm getting it from? I'm getting it from books that were written back in the 1800s. Because Satan manipulated them. Because that doesn't draw crowds. That doesn't... That doesn't entertain. And Satan has manipulated... the churches to where Lord gives me liberty to preach, it's going to open a lot of lights. Oh, he didn't have a clue. But you know what that because I read an article, Pete Ruckman, when they were both young, he says, I went to shake Billy Graham's hand And he said, when I got within 10 feet of him, it was like a whirlwind going around him. He said the Spirit of God was so powerful upon him, and it was working. The Spirit of God was working through him. It hadn't do anything with his power, but that was the Spirit of God working. But see, you can get that same thing almost with the power that we have. But it's God doesn't even use that power. But we yield that thing to Satan. And let me tell you, you've heard some dynamic preachers that you found out was just living in sin and lived like the devil. That was that power. There was no presence of God. And a lot of people say it was the power of God. I don't think so. Not now. It was that power that Satan was, that of their own self was coming up and doing it.
So to have that power, you have to confess your sins, read your Bible, and pray. Have that fellowship.
Well, I mean, that's what the whole New Testament is about, it's letting Christ in you, through you. Because when we revert to ourselves, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. What was that saying about whatsoever done in the flesh or is sin? Yeah. Why? Because we just think, well, it's the old man. Oh, no. No, there. I mean... their power to do that. Yeah. So anyway, it's a wild thing. So okay, you can shut it off. So.